Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So let's look at that, Greg Lawson. Being seen in connection with Roswell, maybe tiny ETs, who knows? How do we get a clear picture, or can we get, based on what you've seen, a clear picture of what was seen?
So if we're going to discuss that, we're going to have to discuss how memories are made in people's brains. And that's a whole bunch of different theories on a whole bunch of different psychotherapists and that sort of thing. But in memory, you have just your regular kind of memory. You have rote memory, stuff that you have to memorize, like your ABCs, your times tables, that sort of stuff. And then you have some episodic memory. Episodic memory is, like for me, I'll give an example. I remember exactly where I was standing when the aircraft struck the Twin Towers. I remember exactly where I was when the Challenger exploded. So there's episodes in your life that are so profound that you remember everything. I remember I was laying there eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and eating a bowl of chunky chicken soup. And I know that's disgusting together, but you know, I was very hungry at that time. I was a student and laying on the floor watching TV and watching the Challenger blow up. So these episodic memories are very, very powerful memories, and that's something that stays with you for a very, very long time. You would think if there was some alien standing there that that would be an episodic memory and you would be able to recall that very well. However, we don't know how people process that sort of stuff and how important and how much recall you do with that. When you memorize something in rote memory, let's say 8 times 8, if you don't exercise that on a regular basis, 30 years past, you're going to forget what 8 times 8 is. It just gets worn out. It's like a path through a grassy field. If you walk it one time, you really can't tell you were there. If you walk it 70 times, there's a trail there. Same thing with exercise in your brain. And that was something that was really interesting with Professor Moore's interview with the Air Force officers. He says, I need to say here, you need to qualify everything I say with a memory of almost 50 years ago. I will say things that are to the best of my memory. Now, here's a, you know, an older man telling the investigators, hey, I don't remember so well. It's been a long time. You need to slow down. And the Air Force doesn't even get derailed one bit. They follow up with Professor Moore with a 97-word, 5-point statement consisting of no less than 5 combined questions. I'm just sitting there. If I would have been teaching these guys in an interview course and let's say a read technique course or something like that, and I tell them what we're trying to do, we're trying to glean more information, and then, you know, let's do a scenario, and here you go. They would fail miserably. They would have been kicked out of the course. You know, it's just amazing. So you have to be very, very careful with memory. I am not a Roswell expert. I know much about Roswell. Kevin Randall is a Roswell expert. Don Schmidt, Tom Carey, all those other people that I mentioned. For me, what I am an expert at is gathering information and discerning what information is relevant and what is not. It was a travesty the way that they would just not be deterred by anything and just plow straight through. So when dealing with memory, and as you were saying, it can very, very well be affected by media, social media, stories, you know, lack of exercise of that memory over a 30-year period, all of that.
Well, one of the things that the Air Force did in that report is that they had a series of pictures of like crash test dummies that they used to test out. I think it was like parachutes and the ejection seats on jet aircraft that they said that they had conducted these experiments. It was a number of years after the alleged Roswell incident, but they said that people saw these things and, you know, memory, as you said earlier in the show, tends to kind of compress itself. So people saw these dummies and thought it was associated with the 1947 incident.
Right. And once again, many of the things that the Air Force brings forward are very plausible. The problem is the sequence in which they bring them forward. Most of their interviews, the people that they talk to, they front load a ton of detailed summary of what they want the witness to agree with. Tracowski's one of the best as far as what they did with him. They sit down with this guy. This is a witness they want to get information from. They want to find out. Or in theory, I should say, I'm using air quotes, in theory, the Air Force should have gone in there and wanted to find out the information that Tracowski knew. But instead, they sit down and say, hey, it was good to meet you. You know what? We've concluded independently from several other researchers, the fact that Mogul is probably responsible for the so-called Roswell incident. The Air Force's position is that it was a misidentified balloon. Period. Before they even ask him any questions, you know, they just go in there and just drop that bomb right there. And it's just, it is so glaring to me. It's borders the ridiculous.
Yeah. So anything that you say, we're not going to believe because we've already come to this conclusion.
Yeah. Imagine me sitting down. I'm conducting an investigation of a murder. I've arrested this guy. I put him in. He's in jail right now, and I'm going to interview the witnesses to what may have happened. In theory, you're going in there to find out what they saw. Well, that's not what the Air Force did. They went in to tell the witnesses what their conclusion was and that they need to agree with them. That's the approach. You don't go into a witness and go, okay, what we've concluded is that your brother ran in there, took the pistol, shot the two guys before they left the house, and that's what happened. Okay, so, you know, that's what happened, right? You know? And they start off from that point, and so that's why I wrote this book and delved off into this huge swamp was, you know, no one has really approached a research project toward Roswell in that way. And I know that I'm going to stir up a whole bunch of criticism out of that, but I'm just going to shrug my shoulders and be like the Air Force and go, oh, well. I'll do my gratification smile as I drop the mic and walk off.
Well, better to stir up some criticism than just to be ignored completely.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the aspects of the whole alien bodies aspect of Roswell is that it really came a lot later in the whole investigation. Because I mean, you know, I've been involved in the whole UFO field a lot longer than I care to think about. And, you know, early on, it was just, you know, debris, maybe a crashed, you know, spaceship, and, you know, no bodies. But then as time went on, then you start seeing these stories starting to circulate. And, you know, lo and behold, these bodies, for the most part, seem to fit within the more, you know, recent aspect of how we expect alien bodies to look, you know, little grays with big eyes and all that, when especially in the 1950s, you know, you may have had some of the descriptions as being small, but most of the time they were really more human, maybe with some Asian features, dark skin, but, you know, none of this little grays with big heads and big eyes.
Right. The little gray goes to communion from Whitley's paper. That's where a lot of that originated, not completely, but that's certainly one example. Here's another example of something to listen to. Greg Lawson joins us with Gene Steinberg and Tim Swartz. This means you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Greg, it's fair to say that if beings were seen in connection with Roswell, it's also fair to suggest that unless there was something really distinctive and memorable, that the details would have been destroyed over the next few decades.
Right. If somebody didn't have a really serious episodic memory upload, yeah, it could very well have kind of gone by the wayside a little bit. We all see things that are a little bit unusual, and then we just don't really pay too much attention to them, and we move on, and it goes away. I've had probably hundreds of deja vu type experiences and epiphany type experiences. Like, I was talking with somebody the other day about a particular disease that causes vertigo. I hadn't talked about that disease in, I don't know, 15 years. I haven't brought it up or anything like that. And in the next day, I saw a video on it. They discussed it on a radio program, a national radio program, and I opened up a magazine that covered it. How crazy is that? That happened all in a matter of, you know, a 24-hour period after I talked about this. It was just popping up everywhere. It's kind of like that phenomena if you go and buy a pea green Jeep. You haven't ever seen a pea green Jeep. This is amazing. I love this pea green Jeep. It's incredible. I get in it. I drive down the road and another pea green Jeep passes me. And I see 12 more pea green Jeeps that week. And I've never seen that color before. It's just kind of the way our brain works as far as what we're going to trigger and what we're going to pay attention to. And it can play a lot of tricks on us. We interpret things really.
I know when I get a new car or buy any car, suddenly I see that car.
Yeah.
All over the place. Very, very few exceptions. The real exception is the early 70s when I acquired a Mazda RX-2 as one of the early rotary engine vehicles.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
They were
and
very fast.
And very, very rarely did I see anything that approached that because there weren't that many.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's just get back to trying to piece together the Roswell story. So we can piece together that something happened. We can piece together that it was probably not a Mogul balloon. We can put together that we don't know about the original story of it not being wreckage and that it suddenly became wreckage in the reimagining. The beings allegedly seen connection with this, we don't know, do we?
No. No, you know, and Marcel never talked about that. Haught, Blanchard, Irving, anybody, DuBose, anybody that had anything to do directly with it didn't say anything about that. That came much later. Glenn Dennis, you know, talked about what he saw and what he was using as other people told him they saw, which would be considered hearsay. And of those other people that told him, he committed at least two intentional lines of deception, trying to mask what he considered was trying to protect this person's identity. When we find out that, in fact, the whole circumstances behind this person cannot be corroborated and is deemed to be false and untrue. And, you know, people have already criticized me being critical of Glenn Dennis, but I worked a murder case where I knew what happened, and I knew that these two people were responsible for killing this person. However, I don't know the sequence of events that happened because they told me so many different versions of the story at that point. I have no clue of what really happened. Once again, you know, all the real evidence, which would be observational evidence and testimonial evidence, you know, disappeared into the ether, and I am only left with the physical thing. So based on testimony, I shrug my shoulders. I go, I don't know what happened, but they killed this person. And that's kind of where the Roswell situation is there's all this testimonial evidence, and then you have the people that come in and tell sets of untruthfulness. And whether Glenn Dennis was untruthful about everything he said, or part of what he said, he was untruthful in some of it. The thing about I tell people is just because you lie doesn't mean you're a liar. There might be a reason why you lied, and it would make sense. So you don't want to completely discount everything that they said.
You know, also, I assume you have to separate from that unintentional mistakes.
Sure. Like, let's say you have a paranoid schizophrenic that is known for delusions and hallucinations. They come to you and say that they've been abducted, taken onto a spaceship, and perform some sort of experiments and put them back. You have to take into consideration that it was a hallucination and a delusion that this thing happened to them, but that doesn't prove it didn't happen to them. So you just kind of set it on the side and let it linger over there. And that's kind of what I've done with Glenn Dennis. I really like the man. I admire him being a good citizen of Roswell. But you can't keep reforming your deception over and over again. Sooner or later, people will then just shrug their shoulders and go, okay, I'm going to write him down as an untruthful person. And we're going to move on.
So then, how can we put together a real picture of what happened at Roswell? Or can
if I could do that, I'd make a whole bunch of money. You know, if I could write it down, because it is so confusing. It's so there's so many different moving parts to it. There's so many people that have vested interest in their determination of what happened, that it's really difficult to get people to agree on stuff. It's just like when the Air Force went in and you know, and was talking to Tarkowski and, you know, basically just tell him, look, we have looked through literally millions of pages of various archives and repositories. Okay, their investigation had been going about 4 months when they interviewed General Tarkowski, who was involved in the Mogul Project. In order to do that, you're going to have to read 110 pages a day, 40,000 pages a year for 25 years to equal 1 million. So these, once again, these Air Force officers that were going in were using manipulative exaggeration to intimidate their witness into agreeing with what they had to say. Why would you go in and say, I've literally culled through millions of pages. You know, I'm an officer in the Air Force. I'm an investigator. I have all these secret security clearances. Who are you to question what I have to say? I've done millions of pages, which you know that didn't happen. They did not read through millions of pages.
You know what? But we're going to read through these pages and get back with, no, we're not, with Greg, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
Recruiting!
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. The Washington Post earned U.S. President Joe Biden little sympathy with a piece claiming that the increasing vulgar taunts are on another level compared to the usual insults politicians face. The Post goes deeper than this, detailing the divisive response Biden recently faced when visiting his hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Let's go, Biden!
The current eruption of anti-Biden signs and chants, the post-peace claims, is far more vulgar and widespread than the heated responses recent presidents such as Donald Trump and Barack Obama have faced. In the wake of California's wildfires, upwards of 10,000 trees, weakened by fires, drought, disease, or age, must be removed, work that will keep a nearby highway closed to visitors who seek the world's two largest sequoia trees. This is USA Radio News. Barack Obama campaigned for Virginia Democrat gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe on Saturday. Obama attacked Trump supporters as insurrectionists and repeated the same talking points in his 30-minute speech on Saturday.
At the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th, the biggest threat to our democracy in my lifetime, when you don't separate yourselves from them, when you don't think that's a problem, well, you know what? That's a problem.
Obama said Trump supporters are the biggest threat to our democracy. U.S. employers reported significant increases in prices and wages, even as economic growth decelerated to a modest to moderate pace in September and early October, the Federal Reserve said on Wednesday in its latest compendium of reports about the economy. This is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Tim Schwartz has been a ghost hunter. He imagines himself to be a ghost. I put it to you, ladies and gentlemen, or I take it from you, depending on your point of view. Greg Lawson, let's just continue with what you're talking about, okay?
Okay. Sure. When you are talking to someone who, it's automatically implied that this person is competent. They're a middle or high ranking officer with the Air Force. They have security clearances. They have the credibility, and then they pressure in. This is what we've concluded. And we've concluded this based on going through millions of pages of this stuff. You need to believe what we say and you need to agree. And I'm going to type up a statement for you to sign. And that's what the Air Force did. And they stayed on track throughout their entire investigation. You read it. They are never derailed away from the Mogul balloon hypothesis. And they also hand select all of their witnesses that they interview and do not consider a single person that had a different view or had actually admitted to being there, like General DeBose, and admitted to saying this was a cover-up. They will even say, no, this wasn't a cover-up. No, you guys are being conspiracy theorists. So it wasn't a cover-up. This is just, well, it was a cover-up. Absolutely. I'm going to believe DeBose.
So what has been covered up?
So an event that happened out in the desert, whether it be a experimental aircraft that crashed, something having to do with Operation Paperclip, whether it was a Mogul balloon, whether it was an extraterrestrial craft, we know that something crashed and that material was taken from that location. It was shown to Jesse Marshall Jr. It was shown to other people like Sheridan Cabot's wife, They tried to burn it in a barbecue to see if it would burn. It would not burn. It was taken to the Roswell Army Airfield. A press release was released for recovering an intact flying disc. The newspaper turned it into a captured flying saucer. That material was flown to Carswell, or what was the Fort Worth Army Airfield at the time, and brought into General Ramey's office with Colonel DeBose. Jesse Marcel says that he was taken out of the office to look at some maps. When he came back, the material that he brought was gone, and weather balloon material was there. Irving Newton, the weather officer for the Fort Worth Army Airfield, came in and identified it as a weather balloon, and James Bond Johnson came in from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and took pictures of it, and it was released. There's some speculation. Ramey said, well, this is the end of it. We're not sending this on to Wright Pat. But I absolutely believe, based on some other testimony that I didn't cover in this part of it, the book, that material was sent to Wright Pat for sure. And it may have been routed through D.C. so that General McMullen could see it also. But there's no doubt in my mind that that material ended up at Wright Pat.
Okay, so the question here is, how much material was there? If it's enough to encompass a large flying craft, it has to be humongously heavy. Unless, of course, E.T., you can just pick it up, slice a feather, I don't know. But transporting it wouldn't be super easy, or could it be done without drawing attention to itself?
Well, according to the Air Force would use air quotes and say popular myth. But according to Air Force documents also, material like that was transported in some of the bomber aircraft that they had at the 509th, which there's a difference between a bomber aircraft and a cargo aircraft. A bomber aircraft has a much more specific shaped spaces in which you can store things to transport it, and it would be much less than what a, you know, a cargo transport aircraft would be. So that lends me to deduce that these were parts, not a whole craft, and they were probably put in boxes and transported in that way. And as far as the weight goes, we can debate, you know, what type of material it was used. Aircraft material is very, very light. It can be thin, so you would deduce also that a spaceship that's flying through an area that's devoid of objects or whatever could be very, very light, almost balloon-like. We have theories of if we're going to go someplace, we could shoot a rocket up in the up in space and actually have it filled with a balloon, and that balloon would then inflate and create the aircraft that we're going to be in, and we would be transported in that way to have a much larger area, and you could do whatever it is that you're going to do in those spaces. So that would be very light. And when we're talking about memory metal, you can look at some of the stuff that they're working on now at the molecular level, where it would be very similar to magnets, where each little molecule would automatically attach to another molecule, and based on their design, you throw this mix of things together and it would make a sheet of paper. It knows to form itself into a sheet of paper, not cognitively, but through design, everything falls into place, and boom, all of a sudden you have this little sheet of paper.
Okay, but what about the internal workings, the propulsion mechanism?
Right, and the propulsion mechanism, when you go down the sci-fi area, that doesn't mean that we need fuel to push it someplace. It needs some sort of influence, some sort of energy that's going to manipulate either, for instance, and I'm being very rudimentary about this, but let's say if there was some way that you could create like magnetism where you would repel, so you would be in your spaceship and you would want to repel yourself away from Earth. We turn this thing on, whatever that is, and it would go. And we know today that, you know, just from touch screens on our 2015 computer I have in front of me right now. It's a touch screen, so I don't need any buttons or anything. I don't need this mechanical stuff. So you would assume that, you know, far in the future, if you're very advanced, that you wouldn't need any actual physical thing. It could be nothing more than, you know, electrons or whatever. You're manipulating light. That light is going to obviously have to come from somewhere.
I'm thinking in terms here of the mechanism by which it moves, not
right.
by which you control. Who knows? You could be 1,000, 2,000 years ahead of us, and it all could be light as a feather. How do we know? But again, we come back to that thing again. What was it? Is there any way, even if all the testimony that you accept is accurately represented in terms of the ability of somebody to remember, if imperfectly, what happened, how do we determine what was really there?
Right. And that's something that I'm sorry to go down this rabbit hole, but I'm going to throw it out there. Even in your memories. So your eyes are not the windows to the soul. When you're looking, your eyes are not taking in light and shining like on a movie screen and you're seeing that at all. Your eyes are nothing more than cones and rods that are picking up the electromagnetic spectrum that we can see. And there's a whole bunch of that spectrum that we cannot see that's all around us all the time. But we're evolved in a way that we just pick up what is important to us. And it's transported to the back of our brain through electrical responses and chemical responses. And it is formed in a way that we recreate what we think we see. And that's the environment in which we navigate our world. So when something happens and we think we see something, that's actually a recreation of what we believe it to be, not what it actually is.
What this actually is will be determined.
Yeah, that's right.
Greg, Gene, Tim, you're in.
And a Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Greg Lawson joins us, Roswell, the After Action Report, where he looks at the Roswell testimony and tries to determine what's credible and what isn't, and maybe give us a vague clue as to what really occurred in 1947 near Roswell, New Mexico. In one or more than one place. Whether it's a spaceship, a test aircraft, how will we determine that? But certainly, if it is something exotic that isn't ours, it still has to be somewhere, right?
Yep. They have to store it somewhere. In theory, if it was just a weather balloon, obviously it just went in the garbage. If it was a mogul balloon with material with it, because they talk about, Sheridan Cavett talks about a black box that no one seems to ask any more questions about, even that would probably have gone to Wright Pat and would be at Wright Pat at this point or in a some sort of storage facility. I don't know whether they would have thrown it away or not, but if it was anything significant or anything else, they have it somewhere.
Makes me always think of the ending of the first Indiana Jones movie, where they take the Ark of the Covenant and seal it in a wooden box and then take it into some vast warehouse. Makes me think that that's where any debris from whatever crashed at Roswell is.
Yes, to never be seen again.
Never to be seen again, that's right. And forgotten as well.
Yeah.
It goes back to, you know, the Roswell report, you know, with the snarky Air Force personnel. They were given, you know, like, okay, here's the information that we have. Make a story about it. That's all you know.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Everybody's forgotten.
At this point, there are some kids that are still alive that don't want to have anything to do with this stuff. Everybody that has direct firsthand knowledge is gone. So we're just left with the mystery to debate, you know, whether or not any of this is going to come out in the future. And that's the thing about writing a book about Roswell, opening yourself up to incredible criticism, because people can be very, very vicious about Roswell. The only person that has anything to lose is me on this, you know, because I'm sitting back writing this and you open yourself up to all kinds of derision and criticism. In the Roswell situation, there's only two things that could happen. One, there is a spaceship and there is disclosure which then will disprove and make everybody that was a debunker wrong. So they're the only ones that can ever be proved wrong. You're never going to be able to prove the true believers wrong because the spaceship could still be out there. The aliens could still be out there. We just don't know where they are, what they're doing, and whether we're ever going to see them. But they're the only ones that can win out of this deal is the true believers of the spacecraft. And for me, I am just sitting in my home with my fingers crossed, hoping that this was a spacecraft and that this was a diversion and the actual spacecraft was recovered at a different site, which is implied by many investigators, and that craft was transported to Wright Pat and it's there or someplace like that now, and they're still doing experiments on it. That's what I'm hoping. But the Air Force has made that really, really hard to follow.
Well, we have this Pentagon UAP task force that pretends, at least in its initial report, that all this started in 2004 with the naval tic-tac sightings. It doesn't pay attention to previous events. On the other hand, the people involved in that, wouldn't they be brought in to know what happened in the past? Not just anecdotal reports, but any physical evidence that was acquired, because that would change everything they've worked on.
Right. Depending on what program it is, everybody's very, very protective of their own little cubicle that they're in. Most of the times people do not like to share information, even in local law enforcement. It's amazing how you're doing a big drug ops in local law enforcement. All of a sudden, you know, you got everything in place and you roll on the location, you surround the location, you try to make contact, nobody will respond. You go into it and every piece of furniture, every photograph, every utensil is gone out of that house. Overnight, it's like it just disappeared. It's like, how in the world did these people find out we were serving a search warrant on their house? That's at that level. Imagine what it's like at the Pentagon level, how protective everybody is of their own little bailiwick, their own little cubicle, their own specialty. They don't want to share any of this with anybody else in fear of they will take over their project, they'll lose their funding, they'll use their information for their own benefit, that sort of stuff. Everybody's very, very protective. So it's going to take something really, really special for disclosure to happen.
Well, you see, that's almost like what you see in the procedurals, where the local police are visited by the FBI. Oh, they're here again. They're interfering in our case.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's NCIS and someone's coming in from the CIA, DEA or somewhere. Oh, they're going to screw up our case, get them out of here. And there's always that interaction where you have the officers from each agency talking with one another. And sometimes they never work together. Other times they become friendly or frenemies where they work together, but they don't really like each other. There's always that kind of interaction. And you're telling me kind of, sort of, that's genuine. There is that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. It's overwhelming, actually. There's not just a little bit of it. There's a lot.
So in a situation like this, the Air Force, or what was the Army Air Force, is involved in the Roswell investigation. Now the Navy's in there, but they don't want to deal with the Navy. They're not going to tell them anything. And that's why the Air Force plays such a low level or almost non-existent role in the Pentagon UAP task force, because it is based on what the Navy has done.
Correct.
But that would mean that one agency of the government could have guilty knowledge of something extraordinary event that happened almost 75 years ago, but it's not shared with anyone else. But even if they were to recover any knowledge from reverse engineering a spaceship, at this point, we'd see something. We'd see some development. I don't mean night vision goggles and all the nonsense of Philip Corso.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. I was I've been on a couple of different shows. I got tuned up a little bit on my criticism of Corso. And don't get me wrong, I love Corso. I love Corso's book. It's awesome. It was a tragedy that he died so shortly after he released that book, and we never really got to really talk to him about it. just a lot of his stuff is the timelines don't line up and that sort of thing. But it was fascinating. You know, it's a fascinating read. If those of you who are listening haven't read Corso's book, read it. It's a fun book. It's an amazing book.
We'll get into that in after the Paracast, where Greg's going to stick with us because we roped him in. But for this segment here, tell our listeners if they want to know more about what you do, where do they go?
All right. You can find me at theparanormaldetective.com. I have a YouTube channel also. All my books, you can find it on my website, or even better, go to Amazon and look up Roswell, the After Action Report. And it's right there, and some of my other books are listed with it.
Tim, tell us where we can find your stuff.
Yep. Well, like Greg, all of my books can be found on Amazon.com. My website is conspiracyjournal.com.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can find us on Facebook. By the way, Richard Dolan has this YouTube video out now where he attacks Twitter and Facebook rather severely, if you want to check that out. In any case, you can also buy branded merchandise for the Paracast at theparacast.shop, or lots of fascinating merchandise with all the logos. You can also sign up for the Paracast Plus, where you get a version of this show free of the network ads, better quality audio, higher bitrate, and the After the Paracast podcast, where we continue interviews that started with this show or have separate interviews. So Greg's going to hang with us because we have more questions of him, and we're not going to let him leave. So there, okay? We also are offering a special deal for a 5-year or lifetime subscription to the Paracast Plus. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, and you get a 20% discount. How about that? Apples. Theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. And for the Paracast, thank you so much for joining us, Greg Lawson, the paranormal detective.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on, giving me this opportunity. It was great talking with you.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.